People say because?
Some do.
They do?
All right. Big news in the Star Wars universe. Today is the day Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and ABC News Entertainment correspondent. One of my favorites is live in Los Angeles right now, Jason Nathanson. Jason, you did it.
I did it. I'm here. I think they say Bacon here.
Though they do say Bacon in other parts of the galaxy.
With Bacon. Yeah, that seems to work. Everything has a weird name, so why not?
You're getting to experience things before anyone else does. It officially opens tomorrow morning, right?
Yes.
Yeah?
Correct. It officially opens tomorrow. I am here right now inside Star Wars Galaxy's Edge on the planet of Batuu. Throughout this week, they've been giving us previews of everything. So on Tuesday, I got to ride the ride. I got to taste all the food. I got to drink the blue milk. I got to see droids being made and everything. And what people are probably most interested in when they come in, the first thing they're going to run to is the Millennium Falcon ride.
It's that looks so cool.
Here. There's two rides, but this is the only one that's going to be open. The other one's going to be open in a couple months, but this is the only one. And it's a motion simulator ride. So if you've been on, say, Star Tours, if you've been to Disneyland before, or they have motion simulator rides everywhere, you get in and there's six people, and you're actually piloting the Millennium Falcon. So you, the two front seats, that's where, if you sit there, you're the pilot. So you're Han Solo or Chewbacca, and it's completely interactive. So there's, if you want to go to light speed, you push a lever forward to actually go to light speed. If you're in the second two seats where I was, you're the gunner. So you're pushing a button that's actually firing lasers or firing missiles. And then if you're in the back two seats, you're an engineer. So you're doing math or something. I don't know what you're doing in the back two seats because it seems kind of boring. But if you get motion sick like I do.
I do too.
I popped a Dramamine beforehand. I was fine. But pro tip here, sit in the back two seats. It'll be less of that experience.
Yeah, because I guess right up front and center would really, really knock you out.
Jason,
right, exactly.
The estimate that I read said that for the first week it's open, that the line is estimated to be somewhere between 4 to 6 hours to get on this ride. Are you hearing the same thing? And is it worth that long of a wait?
You know what? That might be possible. You know, I got to say, for all those people out there who want to be jealous of me, we don't know because we don't have lines here right now. It's fantastic. It's just us in here, which is such a surreal experience to be in here without any people. But so for the first month, or almost the first month, until June 23rd, in order to be in here, you have to have made a reservation. And once you've made a reservation, you get 4 hours to explore the place. So that's how they're trying to kind of keep those lines down. I'm sure the lines are still going to be long. I don't know if it's going to be 4 to 6 hours. I would imagine after when it opens to the full public, definitely that's going to be the case, that those lines are going to be that long. But, you know, I don't know.
How do they know you've been there more than 4 hours?
That's a fantastic question. You have a wristband that's going to tell, in some kind of sophisticated way, you know.
And so it'll tighten and cut off your circulation after 4 hours?
Exactly. Okay. And then Chewbacca comes by and he rips your arm off.
Oh, no.
You've been in there too long.
That's horrible.
Or a stormtrooper comes and escorts you out.
Oh.
Or something. There is some method. I don't know exactly what that method's going to be, though.
All right.
That's till June 23rd. You need to make reservations. Now, I'm married to a Star Wars aficionado and his podcast, Rebel Force Radio. We want to go out there in July. Is it even worth trying to get on it?
I mean, yeah, you're going to want to. This is going to be the thing that you want to see. Now, pro tip, if you don't have a reservation, it is my understanding, and I would check this out for yourself, but it's my understanding, if you try to come before the 23rd, if you stay at one of the, I think there's two or three hotels attached right to Disneyland, if you stay at one of those hotels, you can get into the park. That's going to be very expensive, from what I understand. The Grand California Hotel, which is one of the best hotels here, was going for last night $800 a night, and the thing isn't even open yet. So it's going to be very expensive. If you're coming after the 23rd, I mean, yeah, you're just going to get here early. It's summer months, and Disneyland is always packed. I mean, just jam-packed on a regular day. So you add Star Wars into the mix, and it's going to be pretty chaotic.
So say you're not a Star Wars fan. I mean, I know that there's a... Don't look at me. I mean, I've seen the movies.
Right.
I don't live it and love it.
Yeah.
But for people who aren't 100% immersed into Star Wars, is this still pretty cool and enjoyable?
Yeah, because I'd put myself in that category. I'm a casual fan. I've seen all the movies. I enjoy certain things about it. I love the droids. The BB-8 is, I love that character. I think it's very cool. But there's a lot of stuff here that I'm definitely missing. Little signs, and because, I mean, this world is so immersive and crazy. So if you are a diehard fan, you're going to love it. You're going to want to spend 4 hours here or more checking everything out, because it's also an interactive experience. There's an app you download. When you come in, you choose whether or not you want to be part of the Resistance or the First Order, and then you can go around and interact with certain things around the land that will change your experience. For instance, if you're on that Millennium Falcon and you have the app, it'll kind of rate you how well you flew the ship, and then that will correspond to other things in the land. So if you want to have that experience, fantastic, go at it, you'll love it. If you just want to come in and check things out, you could probably do the whole thing in an hour, depending on how long it takes you to get on the ride. You look at all the other stuff, and then, you know, you could have a cocktail. It's the first time in Disneyland you can actually have a drink. Yeah.
Oh, I'm there.
There's beer, there's mixed drinks. You have to drink them in Star Wars Land, but you can do that as well. There's tons of stuff to eat, and there's tons of stuff to buy. I mean, really cool things to buy. So if you want a lightsaber, you can customize your own lightsaber, and this is the only place you can get these things. So you can't buy the lightsaber somewhere else outside of here. And it's fully customizable to the point where you can put jewels on it and different colors, and there's 120,000 permutations of how you can customize your lightsaber. That'll cost you $200.
They're going to make a fortune with this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it cost $1 billion to make this thing, so they got to make their money back somehow.
You mentioned blue milk earlier, Jason.
Yes.
For people who don't know, in the first Star Wars, in New Hope, that's the drink that Aunt Beru serves up, the blue milk. What did it taste like?
I have had the blue milk, and I can tell you that it is a little bit of an acquired taste.
Yeah.
It is thicker than I thought it was going to be, and it was icier than I thought it was going to be. It's a vegan-based drink, so it is coconut milk and rice milk and some kind of citrusy flavors. And there's actually a couple different kinds of flavors. There's a blue milk, and there's a green milk. I just had the blue, and it was interesting. And, you know, I think at $8 a glass, I don't think it's going to be for everybody. But I can also see, as we start to get into the summer months, it's a very refreshing kind of drink.
Yeah.
So that might help you out as it gets hot here.
How did you get in? Is it true you're the only radio reporter in the country that got to broadcast live from the park?
That is true.
How did that happen?
Nicely done.
I'm sitting here right now. I'm surrounded by, there's a bunch of TV people here, and I think some print as well, but I'm the only radio reporter because I work for ABC, and ABC is owned by Disney, so there are a lot of perks to my job, but this is definitely one of them. Personally, as somebody who grew up in Los Angeles and has been to Disneyland throughout my life as a kid and seen a lot of it, to be here right now when nobody is here, to be able to take a picture, a selfie with the Millennium Falcon, and there's nobody else around me, that's a pretty unique
experience.
That's
not bad. Jason, I mentioned this earlier, and I've only seen pictures of it. You're there. Nobody does it better than Disney at immersing you in a certain look or situation or time. Do you feel like you're in the movie when you're walking around there, when you see the structures? Does it feel like you're right in the middle of a Star Wars movie?
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things, because for most of us, we're never going to be on the set of Star Wars and be able to kind of see that and see the scope of it. Here, when you walk in, you feel like you are on the set. It feels like Disneyland still. I mean, it looks like Disneyland, but it looks like another planet as well. Everything you touch, I mean, it's metal, it's stone, it's got that real kind of tactile feel to it that is just so solid that you're so impressed, and that's cool. But when you see the Millennium Falcon, which, by the way, they've never built a full-size Millennium Falcon like this, not even for the movies.
Yeah.
They've used models, they've used sets, they've used parts of it, whatever they needed to shoot. This is the first time you're going to see a full-size Millennium Falcon. So for just the scale of it is just, it's so impressive. And then you turn around, and then there's a TIE fighter right behind you, which is, you know, one of the ships that the First Order flies.
Yeah.
And that's huge and impressive as well. And then there's stormtroopers walking by you. There's a Chewbacca over there. You feel like you're in another world.
This does sound really cool, at least to experience.
Yeah.
I'll spend maybe an hour there. The family will be there like 3 days. It opens officially tomorrow morning. It's Star Wars Galaxy Edge. This is in Disneyland, California. Now, this
Correct.
Will also be opening in Disney World in Orlando, what, in August?
August 29th, I believe, is the date that that's going to open. And same thing, they're both identical. They spent $1 billion on both. Both are, I believe, 14 acres. They're going to have all the same things. That one ride is going to be open, the Millennium Falcon ride. Then there's another ride that's going to be opening at both of them later this year at some point. We don't know exactly when.
And what is that ride?
Yeah.
That ride is called Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. They're very secretive about it. I don't know much about it, what you'll be able to do, what'll happen. I don't believe it's a motion simulator like the Millennium Falcon ride. It's something where you're either on a track or it's trackless, but you move around.
And a smart move to stagger the opening so that people will come and experience the first ride and then wait 6 months and go back for the second ride. That's pretty smart, right?
It's ingenious. I mean, they really know what they're doing here, but they got to get that $1 billion back.
They're going to get it back in the first day. Isn't right. there like an R2-D2 life-size you can buy for like, what, $20,000?
Wow.
$25,000.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. It's the first commercially available R2-D2 that they've ever made, and you can, there's a remote, and it makes sounds and does all the cool stuff, and it's $25,000.
Jason, there's rumors of a Mamma Mia land. Are you hearing anything positive or negative? Is that going to happen?
Not.
That'd
no,
be great.
I have not heard that yet.
Right.
I don't believe that's a Disney property.
No?
So.
All right.
I don't think so.
Interesting.
We totally appreciate you talking to us. Have fun. How many times did you go on the Millennium Falcon?
Just the once. Just
really?
Did it the once. And like I said, I get a little motion sick, so that's probably good for me. Take a Dramamine. That really helps. And, you know, I have that experience in my mind forever now.
Do you think it's more exciting than the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse? Be honest.
Ooh, that's
close.
A good question.
Close.
No, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah?
So
all right.
I like the Jungle Cruise.
It's a little more exciting than that.
All yes. right. All right.
Thank you so much, you lucky dog, you. Jason,
all right, take care, guys.
Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Jason.
Jason Nathanson, ABC News entertainment correspondent.
That's what we said.
Yes. You got through that beautifully.
Nice job.
Well done.